All right, these 2 hours are going to be focused on the subject of conflict. There's plenty of it to go around. Lots of it going on in our world. All you have to do is watch the reality TV shows, and it's just like, my word. And I don't watch them. I'm just forced to see snatches of them just when I'm at the gym, and, you know, it's on the TV there. And I just think, man, it's just nonsense. And so often, unless there's a conflict, unless there's, you know, even almost every show has to find some way, if there's not raw conflict, it's not interesting. And we've almost become voyeurs. It's not even so much that our culture is our voyeurs of sexual sin and lust. We're voyeurs of conflict. It's like we've created an appetite now for conflict. We want to see it. We want to watch it. We want to see people yelling at each other. What's up with that? And then in the church, where I hope if you're like me, you don't want it. We're not looking for this. We got it. We don't want it. Well, we've got it. Why do we have it? Because we got sinners. All except for the pastor. No. We got sinners from top to bottom, from the top down. Sinners. And so there is no way these sinners are going to function on teams and committees and being together and rubbing up against each other in small groups and Sunday school classes and ABF groups and having VBS together and ladies doing gift bags together without having some fight over something. And it's not just ladies. Guys can have fights too, but it's almost always VBS and gift bags at my church, at least. You know? It's just like, how did we get here? How was I asked to come in and sort this out? I mean, like, I didn't go to seminary to sort out fights like this over the gift bags at VBS. But you have to graciously enter into the melee there and say, huh. You know, it's just, conflict is such a part of our nature as sin because it just puts us at odds with other people because so much of the conflict is rooted in I have an agenda and you have an agenda. And it's amazing, even in church, we can say, well, we're both Christians. I still remember transferring from University of Tennessee there in Knoxville, that's where I started school, to Columbia Bible College in South Carolina. And I remember thinking to myself as my twin brother drove me in his little baby blue rabbit all the way over there, and now it'll be nirvana. I mean, everyone on my hall is a believer. We're all either going to be pastors or youth pastors or missionaries. We will just hold hands and sing kumbaya. We'll all say, oh, no, you go first. No, let me clean the shower. No. And there were problems. There were problems with me and my roommate. There were big-time problems. I just thought, this is shocking. We both love the Lord. We're both getting ready for ministry, and we hate each other. It's like, how did this happen? And it was a real wake-up call to me to realize, wow, conflict is just a part of... The other day I heard a joke that I thought was very funny about a man who was stranded on a desert island all by himself for years. And finally, some rescue boat or plane or something arrived to help him. And as he's splashing out into the surf to get, you know, to get the help and get out of there, the person with the boat just said, well hey. You know, looked behind him and said, saw three huts and said, well, what's up with the three huts? He said, Oh, that's my house, and that's my church. He starts to get in the boat, and the guy says, well, what's the other hut? He says, church I used to go to. He's all by himself. You know, and that really captures it. You know, we can have conflict all by ourselves. You know, we don't even need other people. It's just all around us. Paul Tripp says, do you have any conflict in your life? Do you experience moments of extreme irritation towards someone you otherwise love? Are there people who simply push your buttons more than others? Do certain things drive you crazy on a daily basis? Now, right now, someone has come to your mind. You know, you're thinking of someone already. I know. He says, why does it seem that people, things, and situations are in our way? Why do we seldom go through a day without some experience of conflict? The answer to all these questions is that we think of our lives as our own. And we're more committed to the purposes of our own kingdom than we are to God's. We need to recognize that the people in our way have been sent to us by a wise and sovereign king. Oh, listen to this. Paul Tripp is so good. I mean, I love just quoting him. I didn't even think of this. I just get excited saying it. And somebody at my church We do on-the-road training now at our church every fall and have speakers come in and do training. And Paul Tripp we've had every year. And one of the ladies in my church came up to me on Sunday after we'd had a weekend where Paul Tripp had been there teaching. And she says, Brad, I just wanted to encourage you. She said, some of us were talking during the break over the weekend. And we said, there's only one thing better than listening to Paul Tripp. It's listening to Brad Bigney quote Paul Tripp. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, because I quote him all the time. I mean, to me, he is so insightful. It's just like, how does this guy think of these things? And just so insightful. I think this is very insightful. He's like, he never gets a wrong address and always chooses just the right moment to expose our hearts and realign them to his. Never gets a wrong address. We think he does. Like, not now, not here, God, not this. But God is sovereign, and he's looking to expose our hearts. You got to believe that. You either believe Romans 8:28 right then, or you don't. We love to quote it, but do you believe it right then when you think, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose? We've got to have that in place. When we think through our conflict and the disruptions of life and the inconveniences and the people that we think are in our way of what we really think we need to be doing. Ecclesiastes 7:14 is another great verse. In the day of prosperity, be glad. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has appointed the one as well as the other. So whatever it is that just erupted, it's not saying God's the author of sin. Don't get me wrong. You know, that eruption is probably the fruits of your sin and that other person's sin. So God doesn't take the blame for that. But the sovereign fact that God has allowed that to take place and has a purpose, and a lot of that purpose is to expose my heart and that other person's heart, that you really don't know what's going on inside of you until you have moments of enough pressure or heat or rub that, out comes. And we tend to say, well, she made me so. But no, she didn't make you anything. You could say, she exposed in me bitterness. We tend to say, she's made me bitter. This child has made me, I used to be a loving person. No, you were so self-deceived. You thought you were a loving person, and now it's being exposed that you're not. You love people that do what you want. You love people that love you back. People that get in your, quote, way and don't do what you want, you're not a loving person. Who can't love those who love them? Who can't love people who are working with what you want them to do? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your ex. Maybe it's the adult son or daughter or a teenager. Maybe it's your mom or dad or that certain person at work that just drives you nuts. You just keep thinking, hoping they'll get transferred or struck or something. You know, caught in the copy machine or, you know, something that will remove them from this. But see, listen, conflict is like an exam. It tests us and shows us what's really in our heart. It shows us. It's a test. It shows us what's really in our heart. The conflict that people are having in a particular relationship is not just Satan's attempt to crush them. It's God's design to grow them and show them where they still need to change. In the conflicts that erupt in our lives, and I have conflicts at church, I have conflicts in my home. I mean, I have 5 kids, so there's 7 of us, mom, dad, 5 kids. The potential for conflict is vast. Isn't that amazing? When you just sit down and think the network of relationships, and we keep thinking, because our kids are getting older, finally, praise God, some of them are leaving, and you would think, it'll be good now. It's interesting how funny it is that we always tend to think there's this one person that's keeping it stirred up around here. And if they weren't here, we'd be good. That one person is now has gone to the army and to UK, and we still got trouble in our home. It's like, well, can't blame that on him. You know, you got certain kids that they are, you know, they're just always pinching their sister's bottom and just always doing something to keep it stirred up. I don't know if it's other people like feel like they need to take up the mantle and like there's just supposed to be this level of conflict in our home, but it's still there. I haven't seen a big difference. And we may find when the final 5th kid is gone, we still got conflict and we'll have to say, it's us. It's us. Because we're always like, oh, honey, one day when it's just you and me. It's like, and I think it will be better, I hope. And I have this hope. I really do. And I love my kids. But I don't worship my kids, and I'm looking forward to having me and Vicky doing life together and doing ministry together. And we worked hard, we invested in them, but when it goes the way it's supposed to go, they're supposed to go. Yeah. That's what I have in mind. Go. Be warm, be filled, be successful. I'm praying for you. Love ya. I'm your biggest fan. Don't come back. I'm your biggest fan. You cannot live here.